listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now is the time to secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets at the best prices available in the newly renovated First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Very happy to welcome into the show right now the general manager of the Browns, Ray Farmer. Ray, first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
Taking some time.
Appreciate you taking the time to interview me, at least talk to me a little bit. I see you in this little booth every day, and I'm like, wow, he never speaks to me.
Well, that's true. It's a glass that usually separates us. But now that we have you in here, and now that we are this close to the draft, walk us through what's happening now as you get into what looks like the home stretch before draft day.
This is the good part. This is the part that everybody would really want to be in. Nobody wants to sit in there and grind through the hours of tape. Nobody wants to sit and really take the time that really is vested in figuring out who these guys are. But everybody loves where we're at now, which is the fine-tuning, the tweaking, and the conversational part of it, where you talk with the coaches, you talk with the scouts, and you kind of massage the board. You don't really change it, but you massage it.
When will that draft board be set, Ray, as you get ready for the draft? Is it set today?
I don't know if it's 100% set. Again, we call it the Ouija magic, so at some point you get a chance to go in there and manipulate a couple of spots. But for all intents and purposes, it's really close, really close.
With this draft being 2 weeks later this year and there being more time, and sometimes people can end up chasing ghosts, how much has the board changed from when they were playing football to now when there hasn't been much football played?
It hasn't changed much. I mean, to me, it really comes down to the film. You use every other opportunity to really look at who the guy is. So the character grades may shift a little bit. You may feel a little bit better about what he is physically as far as what he's able to accomplish at the combine. But inevitably, how he played football is how he's graded.
So have those extra 2 weeks, though, altered anything you've done in the scouting process? Have you specifically had more looks at prospects, more opportunities to get to know them than you had previously?
We have. We've had a chance to have more in-depth meetings, more conversations, and having a really good idea of people that have had a chance to touch the player. And the more of those opportunities you get, the better off you are. Again, I think inevitably, like I said, it comes down to how he plays football. And there's two towers that we look at. The one tower is the tower of talent. The other one is the character talent. And depending upon which floor he lives on in either one of those buildings will tell you how good of a player he's going to be.
Before we get into some of the draft specifics, or as best we can get into such things, you're in just less than 2 weeks' time, 10 days, May 8th, you're going to have the culmination of one dream, becoming a general manager, picking for a team, and it's the beginning of another one where you're going to now try to take that team to a Super Bowl championship. How are you feeling right now in this moment approaching that?
It's game day. I mean, inevitably, you always start out on game day with some butterflies, and then I think once you finally get that first piece of contact is when you finally settle in and you start really going. I do have the advantage of several really, really good friends that are general managers, people that I'm really close with that have shared some insight and given me some ideas as to what I should really be focused on and to keep these things in your mind. And one of the best tips I got just the other day is before you get to draft day, take one day and do absolutely nothing that has something to do with football. Just get away from it. Leave it alone. And so I like that. So
I think you've earned that.
So I was just going to say, you haven't done that yet, or when are you going to do that?
I haven't done it, but I'll do it that final week. I'll find a day that just really works for me, and I'll get away from it. I'll take my kids to school. I'll go spend the day with my wife, and I don't know where we'll end up, probably getting our nails done or mani-pedis. I don't know. But we'll figure that out as we go.
Is it possible, even on that day where you're fully intending to disconnect, I mean, your brain's always going, and do you have like those moments of, I don't know, in the middle of the night or some point that you got to wake up and say, you know what, maybe this is what we're going to do with this? Or is it that kind of process in your brain, or are you comfortable with a plan that is mostly locked in right now?
I'm comfortable where I'm at the moment. I really am. I think that there's always the opportunity for change, and I think that there's multiple strategies that have been discussed as far as if this is there, then this. If this is not there, then that. And so, but it, again, it's a process. It's looking through okay, and people want you to plan out the entire thing, but I can tell you right now that who you take at 4 could change who you take at 26, which could change who you take at 35, and so on and so forth down the line. So it's never an exact science. It's a lottery, and you never know who's picking where. And so to try to forecast exactly what's going to be there at 26 is an impossibility, because I really can tell you that as close as I think I am at 5, something could change. You know, you go back 1, you go back 2, you go to 6, you go to 8, you go to 10, you go to 12. It doesn't matter where you go in the draft. You don't know who those picks are in front of you until that name is on the board. So it makes it interesting, to say the least.
The quarterback position, obviously a huge priority in this draft class. And you talked a little bit about them in your press conference, but I was surprised the question was not asked. Do you have a quarterback amongst this year's crop that you believe is the best head and shoulders above at this point?
I think there's a guy head and shoulders above.
Not just height, because that's unfair to Blake Bortles.
I would say that, that being said, I don't know if there's one that is truly, truly, truly above the rest. Again, I said it downstairs. I do believe that everybody, from my perspective, is going to need a moment to kind of get a grasp of what the NFL is. Very, very, very few guys come into the National Football League and just start taking over and dominating from the moment they walk in the league. Even if a guy does start as a rookie, and I think there's guys capable in this draft of starting as rookies from day one, you're going to have to slow walk them through the process. If you try to give any of these guys, in a variety of positions, not just a quarterback, any of these guys, NFL looks right away, that's a hard circumstance to try to compete with.
And we know from the reports and the rumors of the numbers of quarterbacks that have been worked out and some of the names on there that there is a variety. Is it the plan right now, and I'm talking about variety of the guys who are considered to be the first-round guys and then also guys who are later, mid-round guys. Is there a plan right now to draft multiple quarterbacks in this draft, or is it that it's possible to maybe not take a quarterback early in this draft?
Again, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Bundle 51. So the guys that actually know what Bundle 51 is, they'll get a kick out of that. But the reality is that there are multiple scenarios for, do you take one? Do you take two? Do you take three? I don't think we can go past three, but I think that the more you look at it, you just want the best football players and guys at critical positions. So it's trying to find the right balance for who's out there, when can you get them. Because, again, if I said I like these two quarterbacks and I took those two, and then I'm sitting there in the fifth or the sixth or the seventh round or wherever that may be, and there's another guy on the board that I had a better grade on that I really liked, why would I not take advantage of overstocking a position that could really be the most critical position on the field?
Sure. All right, give it up. What's Bundle 51 all about?
Bundle 51. Are you guys meeting with Alec at all today?
We will. Okay. If it's important, sure.
Ask Alec about Bundle 51. But
the sake of our audience right now, come on, help us out.
Bundle 51 is we put together bundles and try to look at the draft in a variety of ways. But Bundles of names, so that you can kind of see, like, okay, if this happened, this happened. So when you play mock draft.
Yeah, okay.
So you play mock draft, and then you get up with bundles, and you look at the names that actually came out of those mock drafts, so you can see what the differences look like. Bundle 51, we just took all quarterbacks. We didn't take any other position but quarterbacks through the entire
and,
draft.
And that number literally is the 51 names.
It really was a joke. They only had 50 bundles, but then we wrote in 51.
Bundle 51, all quarterbacks.
All right, Bundle 51, and they're all quarterbacks. Okay, aren't you compelled, though? I know Vince Young and Tyler Thigpen were signed, and yeah, you got to have those arms in practice, but aren't you compelled to take a minimum of one and maybe two quarterbacks at some point because you don't have them? And I'm not making the assumption here that Young and Thigpen don't address what you created for yourself when you waived Brandon Weeden and when you waived Jason Campbell.
I don't feel compelled.
Really? Why not?
Why should I?
For the reason I just said, that you waived two guys that you had, and you were left pretty much with two. And again, I know you're bringing these other two in, but I'm working on the assumption that you still have the need.
I would say that it's interesting. The need of what do you actually need to be successful is the biggest question in my mind.
Okay.
That being said, I think that as we look at the process as a whole, it's really about putting together a really good football team. And the more you can minimize the role of the quarterback, the better off your team is. So if the quarterback only has to throw the ball 10 times a game, but you're winning games, I would say that's a good thing. The question is that people just want to win. Nobody really cares what happens other than let's just win.
Sure.
So as we put together our team, if I said, okay, the best, with our first, we'll say, seven picks, the best players available were players that made us a dynamic football team. Our lines were better. Our skill was better. Our defensive mentality was better. They addressed a lot of scenarios that way. And then with our eighth pick, we ended up taking a quarterback who we don't think is ready right now. Is that a worse circumstance than, we took a guy at four and everybody's excited about what that name may or may not be? I think it's about building a team that people will respect not only today but tomorrow and so on and so forth. So I'm really inclined to minimize the quote-unquote importance of the quarterback position as we look at the draft and how that pertains to the guys that are in it.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you. I'm coming back. The next time, I'm just going to walk around the glass and just chime into whatever conversation.
Please do.
Do it.
He is Ray Farmer, the general manager of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura with Vic Carucci. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. See.